Welcome to the Sportscast, September 12th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. If you're on iTunes, leave us a great rating and review. It will really help us out. Also, visit us on the sportscast.net for all the latest and greatest news of everything that's going on. Again, that's the sportscast.net. All right, guys, welcome in to a very special edition of the Sportscast College Game Day. Really excited about what's going on. College football season is full blast. This episode is brought to you by Milo's Burgers, the greatest burgers in the South and the finest sweet tea you'll ever put in your mouth. All right, I can't do this alone because it's college football, and we need someone who has been on the gridiron and on the field. And I have a good one, actually a great one for you. And that is former Alabama legend, one of the best defensive linemen I've ever seen. And that is going to be none other than the Rudy Griffin. What's going on, Rudy? Hey, Rudy, welcome back to the show.
What's going on, man?
Hey, brother.
Man, thanks for having me, man.
Man, I've been looking for a way to get you back on, man. It's been too long since we last talked. How have things been going for you?
Man, it's been going good. It's been going good, man. You know, we in the thick of things, man. Football season has started. And so we're getting after it, man.
Well, before we get into college football, tell us a little bit about how your first season at Bessemer City is going, how things are going for you, and what your players are showing you thus far.
We're taking steps, man. We're taking steps, man, to get better. We're not trying to navigate through the pandemic, and so. But our guys have done a great job learning, and we got a lot of young youth, man. That's getting experienced by under fire, so to speak, man. But they're doing good, man. I think each week they're getting better. They're learning. They're seeing a lot of new stuff they never saw before. And so we're getting a chance to grow from that, man. And one thing I'm really proud of our guys, man, of what all they've been through just as a program, and how they've gotten better each week.
Man, that's incredible. What was the biggest message you had going for your new team leading into this season?
One of the biggest messages is for us to come together as a family, and us to be able to bond. And not be so much individual, or we want to grow together as a family.
What are some of the positive things that you've noticed already in this short season?
A few positives, man. Is one is that the guys have been really, really receptive. I've loved the energy. Even in games when we fell behind in games, our guys kept their head up and they kept fighting. And then they come back that next day, that Sunday and that Monday, and they really to correct the mistakes and learn. Our guys are eager, man, and I'm really proud of that. Our goal, again, is we want to grow together as a family, man. And by the end of this season, man, I want us to really be really, really close as one.
Oh, man, I have no doubt that's going to happen for you guys, man. Glad to hear the good things that are happening. Well, let's go ahead and jump into it, man. It's time. College football is here. I know it started a week ago, but this is our first weekend of Power 5 football. How are you feeling already? Is the excitement back for you?
Hey, oh, man, I'm fired up, man. Hey, it's the best time of year, college football season, man. I'm fired up.
Okay. Have you been able to watch any games today or yet?
Yeah, I have. I watched a few of them. I kind of been bouncing back and forth. I watched I watched Appalachian State and Charlotte. I had three of my former players that I've coached playing in that game. So I've kind of been bouncing around a little bit. When I get home, I get a chance to watch a little more football. I got a chance to get out to the Little League Park and watch some of our young Bessemer Tigers. I'm actually here right now watching our young Bessemer Tigers play. A couple of other teams. Our 7U, 8U, and I think our 9U is playing right now.
That's awesome, man. And yeah, as you mentioned, you have several of your former players that are making their debuts here. How does it make you feel as a coach, man, knowing that you've gotten them to that level and they're taking that next step on their journey?
Man, it's a blessing, man, honestly, to know that I had just a small part in getting them to that next level, man. But, you know, that's my goal, and that's always been my, you know, my mission as a coach is sending the boys out. And if anything I can do that, I've done a great job.
Oh, I have no doubt that you've done that. Well, like you said, we've had some games early on. See, Syracuse, North Carolina got off to a very sluggish start, looking like a defensive battle, but North Carolina ultimately came through 31-6. Looks like the Big 12 was not starting out so well. We have two upset losses already.
Oh, wow.
And it's amazing. Iowa State, who boasts one of the top quarterbacks in the conference and probably in the country, and Brock Purdy was favored highly going in against the Raging Cajuns. However, the Raging Cajuns had a whole nother message for them.
Sure.
What does that say about the Big 12? I know it's just two teams that have come out with losses early on. What does that say about them this season?
Well, it's the pandemic. It's the pandemic, man. The pandemic has shaken everything up and turned everything upside down, you know. And so some of the advantages that you had is, you know, spending time with your players off season, you know, watching film. Man, it's shaking things up, man. And every state is governed different. I know everybody watched the Navy game and watched Navy play, you know, in their state, the Navy's in, their governor came in and made a rule, said that they couldn't have any contact. So they're practicing the whole time and can't have, they're hitting pads. They can't have full contact. They can't have in-person meetings. And so they get out there and they play their first game and they got embarrassed because of that. And so that's what I'm saying. Pandemic has shaken everything up, man, even at the high school level. And so some of those guys that normally are powerhouses or good football teams, it's kind of putting them at a disadvantage.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, come with absolutely zero tackling up to that point, it's really hard to ask your men to go out there and be in midseason form when they haven't been able to do anything other than play flag football.
For sure. It's psychological. If I know that the very first time I'm going to actually hit somebody is in a game, man, it's just a difference, you know. And so, you know, that's the thing that people don't, you know, that's the game, I guess, within the game or outside the game that people don't understand. Like, this pandemic is really, you know, it's shaking things up because it's also putting our players at risk, I think, far as safety-wise. If you're not able to actually go full speed and contact and hit and practice and have those acclimatization periods, you know, it kind of put those guys in jeopardy and coaches too. So, you know, I know, we got to keep everybody safe and that's the goal. But, you know, that's something just to think about far as a fan, and it's just, you know, just from the outside looking in.
Yeah, and speaking of how it's affected these teams, one of those teams that's been affected is Syracuse. They had one of their offensive linemen that was out because of it, and they had to convert a fullback to play offensive line, asking him to play a position he's not accustomed to.
Exactly.
And then just recently, found this out today, leading up to the game, two of their top running backs decided to possibly opt out. So it's really hard to be able to maneuver when you got these factors that are beyond your control.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it's so much going on like that. And like I said, even at the high school level, it's like that. And I don't blame the players and I don't blame the parents for not having the kids play, because you want to keep your child safe. And even at the collegiate level, you know, those guys that are opting out, especially those that have a chance to go play NFL football, you know, but the coaching staff has to be creative and do that. But again, it just puts you at a bind that's unprecedented.
Yeah, speaking of that, with everything that's going on right now, of course, everything is greatly altered. And I've heard this discussion being carried on throughout college football as a whole and people everywhere. Given what's happened, would you put an asterisk, so to speak, on this season, or an asterisk beside whoever does indeed win the national title?
Man, I know a lot of my college buddies and college teammates that are coaching right now are going to be mad at me for this, but I will put an asterisk on it. I really would. First of all, you got a half of the Power Five that's not playing. Then you got guys opting out. You got so many extending. Today you got people that are supposed to play today and teams can't play because it's just so much going on. I think it's only fair to put an asterisk because it's not the same. and that's what I would do this year, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Now a couple of games are going on. Notre Dame's playing Duke right now. Tight one in South Bend. Of course, Clemson's going to be on later. Are you looking forward to watching either one of those games?
No, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching all both of those games. Notre Dame, of course, I got a teammate coaching at Notre Dame, and a teammate, Lance Taylor. He's coaching there at Notre Dame.
That's right.
And then Todd Bates, who's the D-line coach at Clemson. So I'm anxious to watch both of those guys play.
Man, it's hard cheering for Clemson, but when we have some of our boys that are on the coaching staff.
For sure,
kinda,
for sure.
We kind of have no choice. But
yeah, no doubt.
But nothing but respect for them. But, you know, moving on to the SEC as a whole, it seems like everybody's having fun this weekend except us. You know, we got another 2 weeks to go. But moving around the SEC, you talked about how the pandemic has affected everything. One of those teams right now is LSU. Good grief. I mean, they already lost a lot to the draft. They lost one of their coordinators as well. Now they're being asked to play without Ja'Marr Chase, and they're breaking in a new quarterback. So what do you see coming out of LSU this season with all these things kind of going against them?
I mean, and that's what I said earlier. I mean, that's why you need asterisks. I mean, it's not fair to say this is the same exact regular year. You know, just case in point, LSU. I mean, and that's just the stuff that we know as fans. I mean, it's stuff that we don't know far as with players not playing and, you know, COVID hitting. So, man, I mean, to say LSU is going to be – it's going to hold up, man, and be the same LSU team, I mean, it's not, man. I mean, they probably took the worst hit out of everybody, I think, with the COVID deal coming, you know, because they had a great team coming back. They had a really good football team coming back, you know, and COVID just kind of threw a wrench in all their plans of having a chance to repeat.
Speaking of being hit hard, I would also agree that Georgia's being hit hard too, because
for sure.
here recently, Jamie Newman, the guy that they've been expecting to be their guy, possible Heisman finalist or projected Heisman finalist, last week or was it a week before, has decided he's going to opt out and start training for the NFL draft. And now they're looking to JT Daniels, a guy who transferred in from USC, and they're not really altogether sure if he's going to be completely healthy come game one or if he's going to be eligible to play. So what does this put Georgia in the thick of things?
Oh, man, I don't know. You know, I tell you right now, and the team that's gonna play in the SEC championship, I promise you, it's gonna be a surprise team. And I think you'll still have your Bamas and all that stuff that's gonna play be in there. But I think honestly, it could be a surprise team out of the West and out of the East. I mean, because Bama's been hit with some COVID issues, man. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see a team like Kentucky or Tennessee make a jump this year off of it. You know, there's no telling, man, this year who's going to be, you know, who is going to be the team that's able to manage and get through. And I guess, you know, I guess the attrition rate, man, if you know, be able to fight through that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and Tennessee here last week had several cases. I believe it was 9 or so.
Their players –
And so, yeah, I mean, it's going everywhere. And the thing is, it's bound to happen, but you kind of wonder how is this really going to affect the whole grand scheme of things. And if we start to get more players contracted, are they going to shut down the season because they're panicking because of what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. I think again, if you just put an asterisk beside it, I mean, if they've already pretty much did that. Granting the players another year of eligibility, no matter if you play or not. So an asterisk is already technically there, because this year is pretty much a free year. So you can play this whole year and not be counted towards your eligibility. But I think they need to play just for the sake of the kids need out, the coaches need out, the fans need out. Man, I think just shutting it down completely, man, it'd be something that'd be detrimental.
Yeah, I completely agree. You said there may be some teams that sneak up on us because of all this is going on. Do you have a couple of teams in each division that you see may actually sneak out and go to Atlanta?
I mentioned a team that I think, man, I think, you know, I won't be surprised if you see a team like a Kentucky or, you know, our South Carolina try to jump in, and then also on the West, man. Don't be surprised either one of those Mississippi schools, man. You got Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, and you got Mike Leach at Mississippi State. So I wouldn't be surprised if either of those teams surprise, especially Mike Leach. I mean, to me, this is kind of a season. This is something that like Mike Leach like wants. And so, you know, so, you know, a season like this be something that he can kind of, you know, something where it's just not normal, you know, because he's a different type of guy anyway.
He's a different type of normal too. But speaking of Mike Leach, does he try to employ the system he's accustomed to at Washington State and even at Texas Tech with Mississippi State year one, especially right now when the offense is really revolving around Colin Hill, their all SEC back?
Yeah. I don't know. I hope, you know, I think he's a good enough football coach to know that, you know, schematically you gotta do the best, you know, for the team, what your team has. And I mean, he has a dynamic running back. And I think just throwing it around a yard to be, you know, I mean, you'll lose the fact that you have a great running back. So I think he's a good enough coach. And people don't realize that Mike Leach offenses, he always have 1,000-yard running backs. Somehow, some way, he always have, I mean, running backs that put up a bunch of yards. I don't know how.
And, yeah, he does. How.
Yeah. And so even at Texas Tech, because we had a chance to play him at Texas Tech. You know, he's at Texas Tech, and he had a good running back and a good running system there, man. So, he's going to find a way, man. He's a good football coach.
But you forgot to mention, y'all shut him down, though.
Yeah, we did. That whole bowl game, Cotton Bowl practice, we was all shaking in our boots about how they was going to do all this stuff to us and potent offense. And, you know, we was the silent assassins because they was doing a whole lot of talking and we wasn't.
Y'all were shaking in your boots? Really?
Yeah, we were because, you know, because the thing was this, and you know, we wasn't afraid as to what they was gonna do to us, but it was something different, because you gotta realize in the SEC in that time nobody threw the ball like around like that, and yeah. You know, it was always power offense, power eye, 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end, you know, and now we go against Texas Tech and it's, you know, they got those big wide splits in the offensive line, like, and all receivers, and they, you know, just throwing a lot of quick games. So it was just different. And so I'm saying shaking in our boots because it was different. And, you know, and they was putting up a lot of points, man. They had good football players. And so, but we was confident in ourselves, but we just knew it was going to be different.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think a lot of us had a little bit of nervousness going to that game just because we'd never seen anything like that, especially in the SEC. However, watching the game, it didn't look like y'all were nervous at all. It's like business as usual. Y'all are cool, calm, and collective. And like I said, that air raid was virtually non-existent. So,
for sure,
I mean,
for sure.
You could have fooled all of us, man.
Yeah. We had, first of all, hats off to the coaches, man. Coach Kynes and all the defensive coaches, man, did a great job there, man. You know, we just, you know, one of the things that we focused on, man, was doing our job, man, taking away what they did best was the short game, because that's one thing that Mike Leach prides himself on, is attacking the short game, which is kind of like his modified runs, all those screens and stuff he does. And hell, we had a great secondary too, man. And so, I mean, all our secondary played in the NFL for a long time. Oh, every last person back there. And so we did a good job on that, man. So we knew we was going to do good. And we knew it was going to stop him, but it was just like I said, it was something different.
Yeah, speaking of that secondary, I don't know if you knew this. We had one of your buddies, Roman Harper, on the show this past Tuesday.
Oh, wow. So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We had Harp as one of the guys there, man, and just it was great talking to him. And he had a lot of great things to say about you, how hard of a worker you were and how you really set the tone, you know, for that defense. And, you know, I guess that tone overall, I mean, y'all were just so driven. Just so lights out, and y'all weren't going to take anything from anybody. And like I said, when we previously had a podcast, man, your group was like no other, man. And y'all were told y'all were the forgotten about players because y'all were 4 and 5 stars. But God, majority of you guys were in the NFL forever almost. I mean, Juwan Simpson literally just stopped playing in the CFL.
No doubt. Like, it seemed like he just stopped playing like last year. I promise you, he played like 17 years in it. He did. He's literally 17 years in the CFL.
Yeah, well, we talked to him a couple of weeks ago too, man. It's like, it didn't seem like he was aging. He was getting better and better and better. But man, it just it's a testament of Joe Kynes and what he had there with you guys, and then y'all's heart and y'all's determination, just second to none. But
yeah, no doubt. And that's one thing. Just throw some kudos to Roman, and I can say this. And everybody echo this, honestly. Roman was the hardest working guy. He really was. And I'm talking about no matter what, I mean, we can go out there and practice for like 4.5 hours, and we go out there and condition, and Roman would be in first. And I used to just question, like, man, where do you get all this dang on energy from, man? Like, where do you pull it from? And it was just something, I guess it was something just innate in him that no matter what the coaches did, I mean, he wasn't going to show him that he was tired. Like, it wasn't going to be like that, man. And that's one thing that he did. And of course, along him being just a very smart, smart football player, man, his energy and his stamina, man, and just the way he just got after was second to none.
Oh, I completely
agree. I try to bring that in, you know, the way he attacked the game. I try to bring that into my coaching as well, man, just the way he's always having that energy and that stamina.
Do you bring a little bit of Joe Kynes into your coaching too?
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Joe Kynes, man, like I tell folks all the time, Joe Kynes will make us fired up to practice on a Tuesday. And just the words that he would say to us, man, would have us so lights out. And like I said, his scheme wasn't complex. Real simple scheme, man. He had us bought in if we did our job, just one little job, we'll win. And I was bought into it. All of us was, man. We was bought into just doing our job and playing with each other as a family.
Man, I think that he doesn't get the kudos that he really deserves.
I agree.
He was a fantastic defensive coordinator. And what he did for Alabama was amazing. And, yeah, I loved him. I always loved talking about him. I always loved talking to former players such as yourself that had the opportunity to be with him. So,
I think about him every day, honestly. You know, I think about every day when I'm on my job in ways that he got us to play. He believed in us. And, you know, like I say, he made each and every one of us as a player feel special he did. And it seemed like he had a chance to spend time with every one of us personally and connect with us personally. And, that was something that, you know, that was something that, you know, I'm doing now, is that he made each of us all feel like family. And, you know, and that meant that we was going to go play our hearts out for him.
Yeah, I could definitely see it on the field. Well, this transition to the current Alabama team, of course, we all know what's coming back on offense. I think it's everybody knows, you know, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris, and all those guys. But this look at the defense. I know as a defensive guy who played to the Alabama standard, what are you expecting coming in this season after what we did this last season, which wasn't up to the Alabama standard?
I think it's going to be a lot better, man. You got year two under the defensive coordinator. You know, I guess the defensive coordinator, because honestly, Saban's the defensive coordinator, but year two under the – I mean, year two under the new guy. I think people don't realize that team was young, man, defensively last year. It had a bunch of young guys. And I've always been a fan of this player, LeBron Ray. He's going to be great. I've seen him since high school. I coached against him when he played at James Clemens High School. And he's going to be special, I think. He's going to be led by one of my former teammates, Freddie Roach. He's going to be coaching the crap out of him. I already know that. And I think that's going to be the key. I think our D-line is going to play a lot better, which is going to be led by Freddie Roach.
Yeah, that brings me to my next topic there. You know, adding Freddie Roach to that defense, of course, you as his teammate, you know what he brought to the table. Us as fans, we saw it every week too. How much does that defense improve having Freddie Roach there?
Tremendous. I mean, he is a high intensity guy, high energy guy, and those guys. He's gonna get every ounce out of him. Now I can tell you that, and it's gonna be a drastic difference, I think, up front.
You know, you mentioned that a lot of players were young. I mean, we had, what, 9 freshmen at one point playing on that defense, and we had up to 8 or 9 players out the entire year. Of course, that's tough. That's real tough.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the things I really noticed that I really hope has been cleaned up, and then this may have been because of youth or whatnot, was the fact of how many penalties we're accumulating every game. It seems like we were averaging 10 or 11 per game. What do you feel like led to that? Was it due to lack of discipline, or just because people were just trying to learn on the job who
There
hadn't
you
had
go.
experience?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you answered it. I mean, just lack of experience. Guys learned on the job, and so they're making this. They're making the mistakes. It wasn't because it wasn't discipline. It was just youth. Things that I can't do that, coach. Oh, no, you can't do that. So they learning, and I think as the season got, and even last year as the season got later, man, I think the guys, did a lot better job with penalty control. And just been having a lack of penalties. But I think this year is going to be a lot better just because the guy's a lot older. And hopefully we don't get in that situation where we get a whole bunch of injuries either.
Oh man, absolutely. Of course, looking on that defensive line, since you were one of the best we've ever had, you already mentioned LeBron Way. I mean, that guy is going to have a beast of a season. I honestly feel like he's going to be a breakout player, end up being a first round draft pick. Who else do you see up front that's really going to just shake things up? Me personally, I'm looking at Christian Barmore because I think that man's just a beast incarnate. But who do you see and who are you looking at to have step up on the line?
Man, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think he's gonna do it. And I'm interested to just see just some of these newcomers, honestly. And I want to be surprised. I got my pick because I've like I said, LeBron Ray's probably one of my. I'm a big fan of him. But I'm interested to see what the newcomers do because I think every year I'm always surprised. Just with the newcomers, man, that come out of nowhere. And so I'm just waiting to see that.
Anybody in particular you're looking at? Because I'm hearing from the practice, these young guys are ready. I mean, they are
Oh, yeah.
fired up and they're hungry and they're already putting people in the dirt. It's just been amazing.
Well, one of my former players that I coached has done a great job, Malachi Moore, and he's playing in the secondary, and I know what he can do personally as a player and as a person. Can't nobody outwork him. And one of his best attributes, of course, he's physical and all that stuff, but one of his best attributes is how intellectual he is. And that guy is so smart for his age that he's pretty much like a savvy, wily old vet. And so I'm expecting him to play and play a bunch this year.
Man, and that's actually one of the names I've heard the most from right now. It was him, and he's just really shaking things up. But speaking with that secondary, a lot of people are looking at Patrick Surtain this year.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of us are really looking for him. He's been very good. There's no question about it. But we're looking for him to become elite. What are you looking for from him going into this perhaps his final season?
I think that Surtain, of course, he's a good player. He's gonna be a dang good player. Just first of all, he got some great bloodlines. Being his dad
Yeah.
was a great football player, man. But I think that he's gonna show us some good things. And like I said, again, experience helps us all. And I think he's gonna do good by just that another year of actually getting out there.
With experience, let's bring up Dylan Moses. How important and how key it is to have him back and have him healthy and also have a healthy Josh McMillan right next to him.
Oh yeah, well, Dylan's been a freak ever since the sixth grade or seventh grade. I mean, he's had an Alabama University of Alabama offer since like the fifth grade, I think. I mean, seriously, I mean it's been a long time, man. So that guy's a freak, man, and he is the ultimate alpha on the team. And so just to have that guy back, he's gonna be worlds of different. So we're gonna be able to tell the difference right there.
I agree, man. I'm really excited about what's coming back and the potential of what we have this year. I really feel like we have a special team that could legitimately go all the way. It just kind of depends on what COVID hands us.
And that's the thing. That's the thing too, man. That's the thing too. I think this, and it kind of sucks, honestly, that this team is a great football team, and is any on a normal year, it'll be no question. I just hate they have to have this such of a great football team under the pandemic because it's not going to get really appreciated. It's not going to go down as one of the greatest Alabama teams, I don't think, just because the situation is dope.
Do you see anyone from that offense possibly being a Heisman winner this year?
Oh, Waddle. Ain't no doubt. He ain't no doubt. Jalen Waddle can. I mean, he's a guy that can do it all. Kickoff return, you know, receiver. Ain't no telling what they're gonna do offensively with him. They might line him up at running back. Probably put him at quarterback. Some wildcat. I don't know. I mean, a guy with that talent. He's gonna be in a discussion for sure.
And then you also got to look at Najee Harris coming back as well. From what I understand, that his off-season conditioning and off-season work has just been absolutely incredible. He's worked with some NFL veterans, and he actually, I think, has shed some weight and has gotten even faster. And that's really hard to believe.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already a beast, kind of reminds us of Derrick Henry. But now, when you tell us that his speed's going to be upped a little bit, man, that's going to be scary for the opposing defenses.
A lot of my buddies already say they said he's big as Derrick Henry, strong as Derrick Henry, but faster. And I said, man, that's scary.
How do you stop that?
I don't know. Pray he trips before he gets to you.
Well, if he does that, he's going to jump over you. So, I mean, you really –
Yeah, no doubt.
You really just,
no doubt.
You just got to hope to maybe contain him, whatever that means.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, for sure.
All right, name me two players on offense and defense from the SEC this year that you feel like will be players of the year on both sides of the ball.
Well, we just named two of them. I think Najee and Jalen Waddle offensively going to have a chance to do that. Of course, I'm biased. Defensively, LeBron Ray. I keep echoing on his name. I think he has a chance to be SEC Defensive Player of the Year this year.
I tend to agree with you too. And you know, of course, I had the bias, but I mean, facts are screaming loudly right now. These guys are phenomenal. Yeah. So, pretty excited.
And I want to mention too. I think also too, man, and it's a name that we got to look at too. I think on the offensive line, I've got a young player too that's there that's done a great job. Pierce Quick. I mean, I've heard he's done great things. Of course, I coached him, and I know the tenacity he has. But I think he has a chance to get out there and dominate, and get in that rotation. I've already heard that he's in that rotation, and I know ain't nobody's gonna outwork him. And so I'm anxious to see what Pierce is gonna do this season.
Yeah, man, I've been watching video clips of him throughout the past several months now, and man, he looks ready. I mean, like you said, no one's going to outwork him, and
no.
he looks like a tremendous athlete. He's just doing amazing things, especially for a guy his size. But I'm not going to keep you much longer, man. We got a lot of college football left in this day. I really appreciate you coming on. It's always
man,
a
no
blessing
doubt.
To talk with you, man. Before I go, can you tell us, those of us who are great fans of yours, how can we get in touch with you on social media?
Well, you can follow me on my Twitter page. It's Rudy Griffin 90. And then also our Bessemer City Football page. Follow us there on Bessemer City Football on there. Those are two ways that you can get me. And, of course, we play every Friday. If anybody's in the Birmingham area, that we play McAdory this Friday, and then the next week we have Sydney Lanier at home. So we like everybody to come check us out at 7 o'clock on Friday at Bessemer City High School Stadium.
I definitely encourage everybody to get out and see some great football. Definitely show your support to Bessemer City and Coach Rudy Griffin.
Yeah.
Now I'm beyond excited about what you're doing there and how you're transforming those young men's lives and
sure.
What's ahead, man. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. But if you want to reach me, guys, at Justin Riley 7 on Twitter, at Justin Riley _7 on Instagram. Follow us on the sportscast.net. We definitely want to check back in with you, Rudy, throughout the football season, see how your season is going, and also talk about some Alabama football as well. But as always, man, great pleasure to have you. I appreciate you coming on this impromptu game day edition. God bless you, brother, and Roll Tide.
Man, Roll Tide. Here's my Twitter handle. Let me give it to you. BCS
yeah,
Tigers
yeah.
F is at BCS Tigers FB. So follow me. That's BCS, that's Bessemer City Football Twitter page, man. And bless you, man. Thank you. And, I'm anxious to see some football today.
Yeah, me too, man. Great to see you.
All right, always.